Hello and welcome to chapter 6 in the BPO series. We moved from deciding to outsource to assessing vendors, selecting vendors and signing up a contract. And now comes the critical transition phase where after you decide who the vendor is going to be, you transition the process to the vendor. So how does transition work? So what is transition? The transition, the initial stage post outsourcing agreements, marks the service provider's assumption of responsibilities, moving services from the customer to the provider in their current state. So there could be two different stages in transition. One is you move an already running process from either the client side or some other provider's side to a different service provider's side. So they need to understand how that process functions, understand their responsibilities once the process is outsourced, and then they move the services from the customer side to their side. In a new process, if a new process has been envisioned, then you need to decide, document the entire stages, because then there is no operational process to come, study, and move. So it depends upon, are you outsourcing an existing process? Then transition would involve the initial study of the as-is process, existing process, and shifting it or moving it to the service provider's side. Or if it's a new process, and documenting the entire operational processes, SOPs, and then implementing it from scratch in the service provider's office or his site. So let's talk about the transition methodology phases. First is the discovery and assessment phase. So this is the initial phase, which involves data collection, assessing the complexity of the processes, the importance, the risks, and the impact of the process to be outsourced. So here, the as-is process is studied at the client side, which would involve teams from the client and teams from the service provider. There is a specialist transition team. You'll have a transition manager and a few other people in the transition team who will come study the process, look at the reports, look at the SLAs, and vet them against the agreed upon in the contract. And then look at what could be the risks if this process is moved from the client location to the service provider side. So discovery and assessment is the first stage. And then a project plan is prepared. After the assessments, after the findings, a project plan is prepared for migration. So what are the steps required to shift the process? How much time will it take? What are the dependencies? What are the resources that you would need to move the process and stabilize it at the service provider's side? So you need to design the solution and you need to plan right from transition to the steady state operations. So first is you define the operating model, finalizing aspects such as the team composition, reporting hierarchy, the shift timings, performance measures, escalation procedures for dispute resolutions, and the communication protocols. So what will the team structure look like? Who will head the entire unit, the operations? Who will report to whom? How many people in each job role are required? What will be their KRAs, key requirement areas, their KPIs? How many hours will they be working? How many days in a week will they work? Will it be a day shift? Will it be a night shift? Will it be 24/7 operations? How will you measure? What will you measure? So all these is defined after the initial process at the client site is studied. Then you plan the entire process workflow. So a detailed planning of each step of the process, SOPs, standard operating procedures are developed. And then you move to the implementation and testing phase. The implementation stage follows the solution design and planning, and it's led by the transition project manager. So you'll have a transition team which is headed by a transition manager with testing and pilot phases, ensuring that you validate the entire agreed upon processes, SOPs, and if any iterations are to be made, that is done in this testing stage. So you technology tools like Microsoft Project, and there are other tools available. This help them in managing the entire project, the deliverables, the timelines, the reporting, and how do you enhance the efficiency and effectiveness of the process. So you use tools like a Microsoft Project or other tools to map the entire project, the timelines, the resources and responsibilities, and you monitor the implementation against the project plan. You make changes as and when required, and then you do a pilot. A pilot implementation is done to validate the results that were agreed upon in the transition phase and in the contract. Then, after the pilot is done and the results are satisfactory, or if changes are made to it, then again you increase the pilot duration. You move to the steady state, so when the operations are normalized. So the steady state signifies that the transition has been completed successfully with ongoing feedback and assessment. So all the SLAs now kick in because the process is now in steady state and the contract terms, the KPIs, the SLAs are now to be adhered to. The communication protocol kicks in. So there's a post-go-live feedback. So there'll be now regular communication between the service provider team and the client's monitoring team as per agreed upon in the contract. And then we have the introduction to the transition manager role. So as we discussed, when you do a transition, now it's a specialist job because a lot of factors need to be considered, especially if you're moving a large process. So you need to have somebody who is specialized in transition, understanding the requirements of the client, going through the contract, making and documenting a project plan, and guiding the transition team to follow the project plan, the steps, implement it, run a pilot, assess the impact of the pilot, look at risks involved, and move the process to the steady state and hand it over to the operations team at the service provider location. And hence you need somebody to overlook the entire transition, usually called a transition manager. The position, the designation could be different, but the functional role is of a transition manager. So the transition manager's role is pivotal as the first deliverable of the engagement sets the tone of the entire outsourcing relationship. A successful transition helps the steady state, normalizes the operations, and the operations team gets a smooth process then to run on the service provider side. So the critical skills required for the transition manager, the person should possess a range of skills, including project management. That's the crucial skill. We spoke about Microsoft Project as a task, other softwares to be used, but they need to know how to break the entire project into stages and phases, assign timelines and responsibilities. So ideally, these people are trained and certified in project management, PMP certified or PRINCE2 certified. So critical skills includes project management. Communication is very important. You need to have cross-cultural experience. You're moving processes from one country to another, one continent to another. So you need to have cross-cultural experience. You need to have previous experience and expertise in transitioning processes as a team member, and then you graduate to become a manager as a functional role. How you handle customers, how you deal with the expectations, how you communicate with them, how you address every stakeholder, keep everybody's interest in mind, and keep communicating to address that everybody is satisfied. So what are the key responsibilities of a transition manager? Now, at the face of the service provider, at the client location, and the start of the engagement, the transition manager is responsible for effectively communicating the benefit of outsourcing. He or she needs to keep selling that the reason or the decision to outsource to the vendor was the correct decision made. So he becomes the face of the service provider at the client organization. So the selection of the transition manager becomes very critical on the service provider's side, and sometimes even the clients are involved in the final say. The selection and positioning of the right transition manager is critical for a successful transition. In complex transitions, the customer may request multiple profiles, evaluating and interviewing to ensure the best fit for their specific transition requirements. So somebody who may understand their industry, somebody who understands their domain, somebody who has been involved in transitioning similar processes in the past, the client will look at these requirements. because the role is very important. Given the critical nature of the role, the transition manager's capabilities significantly influence the success of the transition. So is everything covered in the project plan? Is the pilot plan adequately to test all possible situations? So once we move to a steady state, everything is covered. So let's look at how do you migrate a process from the client side to the service provider side. The first is the pick and drop method. This is applicable for an existing process. For example, a customer support process. You already have a customer support team on the client side, which is now being outsourced to a vendor in India. So the transition team from India will come, will study the as-is customer care process, how many calls come, the nature of the calls, how do you answer the customer queries, the kind of escalations that may happen, the SOPs that needs to be followed, and then they document it and they pick it and they drop it. So they learn from here, there's a knowledge transfer involved, and they implement it there. So it's not a literal pick and drop, it's pick and drop, so it's learning and then implementing there, hence called a pick and drop method for the transition. Then you have a re-engineer and migrate. So here is where you make certain changes in the process and then you transfer it. So you don't transfer the as-is process. You study the as-is process, you re-engineer the process depending on the client requirements, depending on the service provider's capabilities, depending upon the contract agreed upon. So this is suitable for process undergoing significant change. This approach involves fixing the process before transitioning. This will also involve if there is a change in the technology being used. So a bank moving from a legacy system to a new age technology that needs to be re-engineered before it's shifted to the service provider side. Now, what are the focus areas when it comes to managing the transition of processes? The transition management involves key focus areas that are crucial for a successful transition. First is navigating the responsibilities. The transition manager navigates through various responsibilities to ensure a smooth transition, right? From project management to communicating properly, he or she also needs to be involved in the training planning, sometimes even in delivery, and also be involved in operations of the pilot stage. So their role in success is very, very critical. The transition manager's diverse roles significantly contribute to the overall success of the outsourcing engagement. If they fail or do not deliver at par in any of these roles, that impacts the steady state operations, or even the entire transition could fail and the contract could be terminated even before the operation starts normally. So addressing critical areas is imperative for a seamless transition managed by the transition manager. There could be some additional responsibilities. The primary responsibility is understanding the client requirement, studying the contract, and then documenting a project plan and transitioning it. But there are some additional responsibilities which are also involved here. That, as I said, includes training and even hiring of resources and the pilot operations. So let's look at some key focus areas. Now, several key focus areas demand that a transition manager's attention, each playing a critical role in the success. First is tracking the project progress. This is one of the key components of project management. Once you make a project plan, so it could be a Gantt chart with activities decided for every task. So you need to track the project progress because certain tasks are dependent upon some earlier tasks. If one activity gets delayed, subsequent activities will also get delayed. So how do you minimize that? So obviously you will use different software, but it's more than using a software. You need to keep in touch with every person, every team involved, keep pushing, keep following up, and show that things are being done on time. And if there are challenges, those are discussed, reported, and addressed. So you need to track the project progress and make changes as and when required. Then you have training. Training is again a very key skill for a transition manager. Sometimes you may have new team members. Sometimes you may have a team member who has experience in transition, but not for a similar process, not from the same industry, not from the same domain. So training becomes important. The transition manager creates and tracks a training plan, incorporating detailed documentation, flowcharts, and on-the-job training tools. So these are code which the team could refer whenever they have a doubt. Then you have compliance. Compliance, as we discussed, is a critical part of the contract. Regulatory compliance, the SLA compliance, compliance to local governing laws. So the transition manager oversees the legal clearances. He needs to ensure that he is in touch with the local representatives, the legal teams on both sides, and ensure that all the compliances are being adhered to and they are met. This, what you look at, is the focus area of transition management, right from tracking the progress to training the team, the transition team, the service provider team. Sometimes you also need to impart some training to the client team on how the service provider operates, their software, their CRM, their reporting formats. Then you need to look at the compliance adherences, finalize the operating model for the steady state, and then put in the measurement guidelines, the frequencies, and the reporting formats. So this is a graphical representation of the entire transition management process. Let's look at some additional focus areas again. One is the operating model. So finalizing the operating model involves addressing the team composition. So who will head the entire operations team for the outsourced process? Who reports into whom? The number of people in every job role, the shift timings, depending upon if it's a 24/7 shift or if it's a 12 hours a day shift. Do you work on weekdays or weekends? How do you evaluate performance for the entire process as a whole, for teams, for each individual? Document those. Have escalation procedures in place to address disputes, operational disputes, some contract disputes. Communication protocols, how often do client teams interact with the service provider teams? Do they get real-time access to reports, data, information, the weekly reporting, the monthly reporting, even the monthly invoicing or weekly invoicing, depending upon the contract? So this comprehensive model lays down the service expectations and can include the compliance requirements as per the contract. And then comes the measurement part. So how do you measure performance? So you will have standard metrics. There will be some metrics which are specific to the client. So those need to be put in the reports. You need to have the operational definition for each metric. You need to ensure that data is available to report the performance. And in case if the performance is not being met, what could be the action taken and who is responsible for that? Then comes the effective transition management best practices. Now, BPOs have been running for decades now. N number of processes have been transitioned, and there are people specializing in transition. So obviously there are some transition management best practices which companies could refer to. So a robust governance framework is essential to ensure a successful transition. You have also have specialists, service providers who assist in transition. So these are transition consultants. So there are valuable lessons learned from past instances, offering insights and precautions for effective transition management. So there are some critical lessons. First, transition failures and delays provide critical lessons that shape effective transition management. You learn from the past failures and safeguard in the next transition. You need to govern the, you need to have a governance for the framework. So these are guidelines, checklists, if you could say, that you need to check against when the entire transition is taking place. And you have to take certain precautions and insights. So insights gained from lessons learned contribute to effective transition management. If a service provider has transitioned processes before and there would have been challenges and they would have been addressed, those becomes insights and guidelines for the transition team. And hence, you need to choose somebody who has experience in transition to work as a transition manager, and then the new members can learn. But the person heading the transition should have previous expertise. If not, that is when you rope in an external expert who would have handled transition earlier, and they guide the entire team. So the transition manager role itself could be outsourced by the service provider. So let's look at the lessons learned in transition management. Transition management involves learning from past experiences. So process-dependent model. What is a process-dependent model? Process-dependent model emphasizes where people-dependent. Let's look at the lessons learned in transition management. From past experiences, one learns that the transition model should not be people dependent, it should be process dependent. A people dependent model is where you rely on one or few individuals to carry out the entire task. That could be risky because that is not replicable. You are dependent on a certain individual to complete the entire activity. Rather, you need to have a process dependent model. So irrespective of who is a part of the team, they could refer to a process document and carry out the activities. Then you have consistent communication between every person involved in the transition, from the client side, from the service provider side. So everything is discussed, and if there is any delay, any bottlenecks, they are addressed proactively. And hence the importance of having open discussions. Service providers sometimes try to hide information, worrying that the contract may be at risk. But that's not the right way to go about it. It's important to have an open discussion, suggest solutions, and at times ask for advice from the client. So let's continue with the best practices for successful transition. Now, successful transitions are guided by some best practices. Again, something which have been learned through past experiences. First, you need to have a robust transition plan. The project plan needs to be documented, needs to cover all the aspects, and everyone needs to be trained upon, and responsibilities need to be allocated with timelines. Then you need to have technology considerations. So address technology needs and changes to facilitate a seamless transition. So what technology do you need to use for the new process? Is there some new technology which needs to be acquired, and if some training is required or not? Culture integration is again very important, because service provider and the client organizations, end users, are in two different countries, two different cultures. So how do you bridge the culture gap? Then motivational strategies, celebrate short-term wins. That's true for any project. That's also true for transition projects. And then risk management. So effectively manage risks, preempt risks, again, based on past experiences, and have a mitigation plan for each risk identified. Another important aspect is the business continuity during transition and success. So you're moving a running process from one site to another site, which may cause some disruptions. So how do you ensure business continuity during this phase? Now, transition is a complex activity and may encounter disruptions, making business continuity vital. For example, if you're moving customer support from USA to India, there may be a phase when customers are unable to reach a customer support executive for help. So how do you address that? So business continuity maintains or swiftly resumes functions post disruptions. So how quickly can you resume operations once a disruption happens? And can you preempt the disruption and safeguard against it by outlining procedures for various aspects? So business continuity ensures the maintenance or rapid recovery of business functions during major disruptions, during transition, and even during steady state. For example, network failures, power failures, or a transport strike when people are not able to come to the office, or flooding or earthquakes. So you need to have guidelines to ensure that you avoid disruptions, or in case a disruption happens, how could you ensure a rapid recovery of all business functions? So a business continuity plan provides procedures and instructions for resuming operations in the face of disasters. So it needs to be documented. Key management needs to be trained upon this. The document needs to be handy, which they could refer to when a disruption happens. So what are some steps that you could take for effective business continuity planning? First is, you need to assess the vulnerabilities. You can't wait for disruptions to happen. There may be some, but basis past experiences of people involved, you need to preempt these options. So evaluate business processes, determine their vulnerability and potential impact on operations, right from system failures to network downtimes to floodings and to earthquakes. For example, natural causes. Then you identify the critical functions. So after you know the risks, the vulnerabilities, you identify what are the critical functions that need to be restored immediately, or if they can be prevented from going out of operations at all. Maybe you may have another site in a remote area that you could switch over to immediately if there is a disruption. And then you set dependencies. So establish dependencies between functions to understand their interconnectedness. How are different teams involved and how they could support each other to ensure business continuity. Now, business continuity planning also has another function, disaster recovery. So what I mentioned, like an earthquake or a flooding, these are called disasters, natural disasters. So what happens if a disaster occurs? How do you ensure that the business continues? So business process outsourcing can be integral to business continuity planning, especially in disaster recovery situations. Now, BCPDR compliance requires specialized resources, particularly in sectors where business downtime is critical. Now, some business processes, if you have a downtime, that's acceptable. If you go back to the risk mitigation criteria, we have generally acceptable ALARP as low as practical, reasonably practical, and highly unacceptable. Same is with business processes. Downtime for some business processes could be acceptable generally. For some, it could be ALARP. For some, it could be generally unacceptable. And how you make a recovery plan, a disaster recovery plan, depends on the severity of the business operations. So BPOs serve as a key element in business continuity plans, providing day-to-day support and taking on greater responsibility during disaster recovery. So compliance with BCPDR requires skilled resources, more prominent in sectors where business downtime is unaffordable. Let's look at the success criteria for transition management. But transition success depends on well-defined objectives: the management commitment, service provider-driven transition, change management, and effective governance. But first, the objectives need to be very clear. Hence, the contract becomes very important, and even the stages before the contract are critical. That objective needs to be explained to the service provider in a very clear terms. The management on both sides need to be committed. Sometimes you have people in management who are averse to outsourcing or averse to outsourcing to a certain vendor. So they're not fully committed and hence they may not fully cooperate. These are human issues, people issues, but need to be addressed, and there are tools for doing that. Then you have the transition being driven by the service provider, because then they take accountability of the success and failure of the pilot phase. Change management is important because there is a change happening at both the sides, the client side as well as the service provider side, and the governance framework needs to be effective. How to measure, what to measure, who does what by when. So holistic objectives would drive and measure progress, ensuring balance across customer, finance, operational, and organizational aspects. Top management commitment and strong global project leadership. So if they are not committed into a project, be it outsourcing or anything else, the results often are not as expected. Again, the service provider driven transition that drives the accountability, as they are accountable and responsible for the success and failure of the entire engagement. So how do you build successful relationships during transition? Building successful relationships during transition involves implementing governance structures, maintaining senior management contact, monitoring delivery performance, and documenting agreements. So again, as you involve people in top management, mid-management, and you're able to communicate openly, proactively, sharing challenges, sharing reports, understanding their requirements, their aspirations. So hence the role of the transition manager and the transition team becomes very, very important. So you need to implement a governance meeting structure, including frequent joint client provider progress meetings. So if the project is going to be, let's say, 4 weeks long or 6 weeks long, how often do you meet? Once a week, twice a week? What do you discuss? The minutes of the meeting, are they reviewed, reported in the next meeting? So these are some best practices which need to be followed. You need to ensure the senior management is involved and the service provider's performance is being reported and discussed. So monitor and manage the service provider's delivery performance against the contract deliverables. Initially, The provider may not meet the benchmarks, but that's all right. Even the client would understand that. But reporting that and discussing that ensure that you improve rapidly rather than delaying the improvement. And there needs to be formal approvals and agreements. While you engage people, you talk to them to ensure that the entire project remains process dependent and you have documents to refer to. Everything needs to be documented. Any change needs to have a formal approval from both sides. And in spite of all the best practices and the framework that you may implement, you may still come across some challenges during the transition phase. Because you're moving a process or engineering a process and moving it to the service provider side. And the first is people's resistance to change. So resistance from outgoing teams, because job insecurities, if you're moving a process in the pick and drop model, people are either losing their jobs or they are being reassigned to different roles. And people don't react favorably to change. So they may be a little hostile towards the transition team. They may hold back on information. They may not cooperate. So how do you manage change? Hence, change management is an important skill for the transition team. Inadequate documentation may prove to be another problem once you start implementing the pilot and the steady state. So it needs to be reviewed very carefully, taking inputs from the senior and mid management at the client side. Passing off incomplete and incoherent information. This could be even more challenging if people were not cooperating, pass on inefficient or incomplete information to the transition team. So that is the reason frequent meetings, proactive communication, and verifying records during the study phase, the due diligence process, ensures that you guard yourself against these common mistakes and challenges in the transition phase. So incomplete or disorganized knowledge transfer may result in misunderstanding and inefficiencies because you are not being given the complete information and worse, incorrect information at times. So communication gaps need to be avoided, and this could only happen if you have communication meetings, protocols, the formats predetermined during the transition planning phase. So let's look at the time taken for transition. Now, extended transition periods can strain both the client and the service provider. Everybody is looking for quick results. The vendor has been selected. The contract has been drafted. So everybody is looking at a quick transition, but sometimes depending on the complexity and the challenges and the cooperation of people, it may take time and the time may get extended, which could be frustrating for both the parties. So lengthy transitions can strain resources. They may increase the transition cost, affecting the project timeline. There could be a stakeholder impact. Delays in transition can result in dissatisfaction among stakeholders. So if you had some detractors who were not very open to outsourcing to a certain vendor or outsourcing at all, may then become more vocal about the negative impact of outsourcing. So people management becomes very, very critical. Managing the transfer of employees from the client to the service provider involves addressing concerns about job security, role changes, and adjustments. So these are more about leadership and communication, but open communication is what is required. You cannot hide information or delay giving information to the client because that will affect the employee morale. They're anyways dealing with a change, either a job role change or even a job loss. So you need to ensure that the employee morale is not affected and any adverse decision is communicated in the right way and proactively. You also need to look at the HR compliance. Ensuring compliance with employment laws and contractual agreements is crucial for a smooth transition. It'll avoid any legal issues. So these are processes, best practices, challenges, which you need to consider when you transition a process after the contract has been drafted from the client side to the service provider side. That's about the transition of BPO. I'll see you in the next chapter. Thank you.